The central theme of this week's parsha, Parshas Kisisa, is Chet HaEgel. So many pages and pages and pages of commentary have been written trying to explain the inexplicable, this chet, this terrible sin that Klal Yisrael did. We are told that we have to remember the Egel every day and how we angered Hashem in the Midbar. And we would imagine that the main thing we had to remember was the fact that there in the site of Har Sinai, just a few weeks after hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, getting the crowns, because we said Na'aseh V'Nishma, we go and we abandon, we betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we serve Avodah Zarah. However, it seems like there are other parts to this chet, and some things to remember that maybe seem to be even more important than the Chet HaEgel. When we are looking at the reason for why we fast on Shavuos or Batamos, we're given five reasons, but one of the reasons we're given is that the luchos were broken. And that the luchos were broken seems to be an effect of the Chet HaEgel. It would seem to make more sense to say that the reason that we fast on Shavuos or Batamos is because we sinned with the Egel. We did this terrible, terrible sin. The fact that the luchos are broken are sad for us, but that's not the cause, that's the effect, meaning that's it's only happened because we served the Egel. So why doesn't it say, why does it seem to be emphasized that it's the breaking of the luchos, which is the great tragedy of this event? What exactly are we supposed to be remembering? The pasuk begins, the pasuk telling, recounting the sad tale, says, Vayar ha'am, the nation saw, ki boishish Moshe loredes min ha'har, that Moshe was delaying in his coming down from the mountain. So the first question here is, Vayar ha'am, the nation saw what? The answer is they saw nothing, meaning they saw the same thing they saw for the last 39 and a half days, which is no person coming down from the mountain. So what does it mean that they saw? We'll come to answer this question at the end of the shir. But they go to Aaron, and they say to Aaron, get up, please, and make us Elohim, asher yachu lefaneinu, make us an Elohim that will walk before us, ki ze Moshe ha'ish, because this Moshe the man, asher ha'elanu me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim, lo yadanu ma'ayelai, we don't know what happened to him. So make us an Elohim, because this Moshe man, is not here anymore. So there are a few questions here, but you know, what does it mean, Zem Moshe Ha'ish? It's an extra piece. We know Moshe is a man, so why do we emphasize it? And then they speak about Moshe, who helped them come out of Mitzrayim, and they go to Aaron, who is the biggest fanatic who they have right now, right? He is the Moshe's partner. And if they would like to be starting a new religion here, right, to create a new Elohim, as they are saying, he's the last person to go to. He's certainly going to stop them. But then another surprise is that he doesn't stop them, meaning Aaron seems to acquiesce and he even makes them the Egel. Why wouldn't he say no? Why wouldn't he think that this is a Yareg Val Yavar? And even more surprising is that when Moshe comes down and he was angry at Aaron, he says, Aaron, what did you do? Aaron seems to brush it off a bit. He says, Al yichar afadini, like, don't get so upset. I tell you that to Sa'am Kibarahu. You know this nation. You know that they're troublesome. What's the big deal? They said to me, make us Elohim, asher yachu lefaneinu, ki zeh Moshe ha'ish. He repeats the whole thing. We don't know what happened. And I said, go bring me your gold and give it to me and I'll throw it in the fire. And I threw it in the fire and out came this Egel, and almost like, what's all this anger about? You know, like, so there's an Egel. So I think the only way that we can really explain this, again, there are many, many explanations given, but let's say one of the ways we can explain it is that what they were asking for was not a Avodah Zarah. They were not asking to replace Hashem. If they were asking to replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'nai Yisrael wouldn't have asked for from Aaron, because they would have known that there's no way he's going to give it. So they're making it clear that they're not asking for a replacement for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What they're asking for is a replacement of Moshe, the man. Because it's Moshe the man who was the intermediary between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They know it wasn't Moshe who took them out of Mitzrayim. They know it was Hashem who took them out of Mitzrayim. In fact, the Haggadah goes through great lengths not to mention Moshe's name in the Haggadah to show that it's Hashem. But what they were saying is, "Aseh lanu Elohim." Elohim doesn't mean Hashem. Many times, most times that we see the word Elohim, it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but sometimes when you say Elohim, it's referring to human beings. Like Hashem calls Moshe when he's reluctant to go and try and save the Jews. Back there by the Sneh, Hashem says to him, "I'm going to send Aaron to help you. He will be Lecha Lepeh, and you will be for him as an Elohim, because you're going to be the one in charge." Also, by what we're talking about in Eved Ivri, the halachas that detail what happens when a person is sold to a Jew, a Jewish person is sold to a Jew, then the owner has to bring him to the Sanhedrin, which the Torah calls Elohim, meaning it can refer to Hashem, it can refer to Avodah Zarah, but it can also mean master or leader, as in Moshe was called Elohim, or the Sanhedrin is called Elohim. Meaning sometimes when you say it like that, yes, sometimes Elohim Acherim is Avodah Zarah, and sometimes Elohim is the Shem Hashem, but sometimes the word is used as a master or as a leader. At this moment, on day 39 and a half, the Jews are terrified that Moshe is no longer. And even if he does come back, he may not be the man that he was, as they were correct, meaning he was not even so much part of this world anymore. We'll see, he's going to separate from his wife and move himself to a different place. As far as they're concerned, they don't have their intermediary anymore. They could go directly to Hashem, but that's very frightening for them. It's too hard for them. We see that when Hashem tried to talk to them by Matan Torah, their neshamas left them. They're too scared. So they need something to replace the man Moshe. And that's what they're coming to Aaron for. They're asking him, "Give us a new intermediary." So Aaron asks for a delaying tactic. He's not overly concerned because, as far as he's concerned, he's looking at it as a replacement for Moshe, not Hashem. That's why he said, "Chag laHashem machar," using the Shem Havaya, meaning that we'll celebrate this new intermediary together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he didn't see them as trying to replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where did things go so wrong? It's interesting that the night before, when they come to Aaron, Moshe is not told to go down from Shemayim. It's the next morning when Hashem told him, "You have to go down because your nation has lost it," meaning that your nation is terribly, terribly disobeying. What did they do wrong? Meaning, what changed between the night and the day? The night they came and they asked for a replacement for Moshe, but the next day, vayakumu litzachek, they got up, and litzachek is the same shorash as the word laughter, but what it's describing is an explosion of prikas oil, of a throwing off of any burden, of hedonism, of joy, boundaryless type of behavior. And that's what Hashem told him. You have to go down because they're losing something. Only 3,000 people were killed for serving Avodah Zarah. Only 3,000 people were killed out of 3 million, which means that very few were actually serving Avodah Zarah. There were others who were killed afterwards in different ways, but we still don't get to more than 30,000, which is not more than 1% of Klal Yisrael who are going to die for the sin of Chet HaEgel. So if 99% didn't serve, why are we all punished? Why is this like an avera, a chait that we carry with us forever? And it says there are some who had the taiva for it, others who stood by without stopping it, meaning everybody had a little part of it. But the biggest disaster of Chet HaEgel was that we lost our crowns that we got with Na'aseh V'Nishma, which represented the award, the reward we got for our 100% commitment to serve Hashem. This chait was the destruction of that commitment that said, we're here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu whether we understand or not, because we are His and His alone, and we have no dea, we have no thought process about how and what and when. Whatever you say, Hashem, that's what we're going to do. The Chet HaEgel saying, we need a new intermediary, and we are going to create that new intermediary, and we are going to decide on that intermediary. That was a break in the commitment. When he destroys the Luchos, he's smashing them to symbolize the destruction of the covenant. we have not yet reclaimed the level of commitment that we attained on the day of Naaseh v'Nishma. We've regressed to a point that we can no longer recapture it until the coming of Mashiach. What do we need to remember? What is the problem with Chetah Egel? We need to remember the break that came as a result of the loss of the trust and commitment. We need to remember that we once had a greater trust and we once had a greater commitment, which we don't have anymore today. This story of the Chetah Egel interrupts the four parshiyos which talk about the Mishkan, which is so detailed and seems to be an exact repetition. Meaning we have Truma and Tetzava, which gives us the command to build the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kohuna. We have Kisiso, which talks about the Chetah Egel. And then we have Viakal and Pekudei. And many questions about why it has to be repeated with Viakal and Pekudei. Really, it could have just said, build the Mishkan, and then in one sentence, at one pasuk, and they built it. But there's one detail here. According to the Medrash, Moshe said, build the Kelim and the Mishkan. First build the Kelim and then build the Mishkan. But Bezalel says, shouldn't we build the Mishkan first? Meaning, before we build all the pieces of the Mishkan, of the things that are going to go into the Mishkan, we should build the Mishkan so that we have a place to put it. And Moshe responded to him and said, you are aptly named Bezalel, because Bezalel is Bezalel. You are standing in the shadow of Hashem. So the question is, what was Moshe told to do? Meaning, if Moshe was told to build the Mishkan first, then why didn't he tell Bezalel to build the Mishkan first? Meaning, if the right thing to do is build the Mishkan first, and he's giving Bezalel the praise that you must have been standing behind Hashem and overhearing him because you understand Hashem's intentions, then why wasn't Moshe told to build the Mishkan first? And if he was told to build the Mishkan first, then why didn't he tell that to Bezalel to build the Mishkan first? Why did he tell him to build the Kelim first? So to understand this, we have to understand that the Mishkan has a couple of purposes. But one purpose of the Mishkan is a place to reconnect with the Shechina, to reinforce the Emunah. This is the place that the Shechina comes to. And if I want to access Shechina, we go to the Mishkan. And then there's the individual Kelim in the Mishkan, which each one serves to fulfill the mitzvahs, like, for example, the Karbonos. If you want to bring Karbonos, you have to have a Mizbeach. So I need the Mizbeach to fulfill this mitzvah of the Karbon. But overriding all that is the Mishkan, which is there to strengthen our connection and our Emunah. What is the primary purpose of building the Mishkan? Before the Chetah Egel, we don't need the reinforcement of Emunah because we have the covenant, we have the bris, we have the commitment, we have the Naaseh v'Nishma. But after the Egel, we for sure have to work on our Emunah, and the mitzvahs become secondary. So what Bezalel is saying, again, with the split in these parashiyos, there's Truma Tetzava before the Egel, and then there's Ve'akal Pekudei after the Egel. Bezalel says to Moshe, at this point, we need to build the Mishkan first, because our primary goal of the Mishkan is to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you are right, and properly named, because you are standing in the shadow of, behind Hashem, after the fact of Chetah Egel, you are certainly right that we need the Mishkan first, before the Kelim. And it's emphasized in every piece of the building of the Mishkan is Kasher Tziva Hashem, that it's to reinforce our Emunah that we're going to do things exactly as Hashem told us to do it. Again, understanding or not understanding, because the whole point of building the Mishkan is to have the reconnection and to reinforce our Emunah. So when, to go back to our original question, when it says Vayar Ha'am, when we see things, we can see things so wrong, as opposed to hearing, because you can hear things that are wrong, but you often have a chance to correct your hearing because it's a process. You can miss one point in a sentence, in a conversation, but by listening closely to the things that come after, you can reconcile what you've missed. But when you see a scene, you see it all at once, and if you see it wrong, you've seen it wrong. And that's what they saw. Vayar Ha'am, their understanding of things is essentially problematic. They're just asking for an intermediary for Moshe, but it removes them from the level of emuna that they reach Rematan Torah. And therefore, what we are told to do is to remember, always to remember. And therefore, the emphasis on the ongoing outcome is that the luchos are still broken, and we're missing something in our level of commitment. We're missing something in the level of the covenant. It's not just the luchos that are broken; it's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is somewhat broken. I did see, just to end on a positive note, another point of what we are supposed to remember by Chet HaEgel is how much we angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the devastating result of it, but remember that we're still here. And remember that we're still so many, over 3,000 years later, still talking about the fact that we're missing something in our relationship and that we'd like it back and that the luchos were broken and we want our crowns back. And to look at that, Chaste Hashem ki lo yisamnu, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two ways of understanding the pasuk, Chaste Hashem ki lo yisamnu, it's a chesed of Hashem that doesn't end, but Chaste Hashem ki lo yisamnu, the chesed of Hashem that we have not ended, that we are still here. Yes, the luchos are broken, yes, the Chet HaEgel happened, and yet we are still here thinking about talking and remembering and desiring that contact, that connection that we once had, that we wanted to come back again.